When a man came to Jesus asking him to tell his brother to share his inheritance with him, Jesus refused to do so. He didn't see that as his role. Instead, he said, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions." And he went on to tell them a parable about a rich fool. And we find this in Luke 12, 16 to 21. Jesus said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." I don't think that many disciples were seeking out Jesus afterwards to ask for an explanation of this parable, as they did say for the parable of the sower. Anybody who heard it could relate to it. It covers several themes that are universal to the human condition. And of course, the first of them is the very transitory nature of life. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. This rich fool assumed he had a good many years left and was looking forward to enjoying them. But in fact, he had only hours left. In verse 20, we read, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?'" And most tragically, there were a good many people, 127,500 to be precise, who in March 2020 would have assumed they had a good few years of life left to enjoy. But during that year, all of them lost their lives to the pandemic. This virus has brought home to us that we cannot assume anything. We cannot presume anything. Our lives are truly in God's hands. Those who mercifully survived the pandemic, who had a close brush with death, often emerged from intensive care determined to make the most of what life had left to them, and saw their lives from a different perspective. They had a new view about what their priorities actually were. Rich fool's arrogance was he could plan the rest of his life with no reference to anybody else, and especially with no reference to God. In fact, God had blessed him. He had given him a good harvest. Some translations say he had given him an abundant harvest, so good, in fact, that his existing barns couldn't hold it all. Rather than give the surplus to the poor or make thank offerings at the temple, instead he built new and bigger barns to hold it all. This was folly indeed. It showed a huge degree of ingratitude to God and complete selfishness. This man was thinking only about himself, his own comfort, and nobody else. More than this, he was planning years of idleness and indulgence. He uttered those notorious words, "Eat, drink, and be merry," which had come down to us as the very essence of wasteful living. He wasn't going to lift a finger to help anybody else. He didn't care about anybody else. It was all going to be about him, and that was that. Of course, God burst that bubble. Imagine the man's shock and horror when he realized it was all too late and other people were going to enjoy that grain he'd stored up for himself. When I used to go around inspecting schools, I was often surprised by how often schools would have accumulated huge reserves, hundreds of thousands of pounds, which were just sitting on a balance sheet as surplus, not being spent on the children. It wasn't as though the school had plans for this money, such as a particular building project it was saving up for. The money had just been set aside for what they like to call a rainy day. That particular idiom dates back to an Italian play from the mid-1500s. So people have been saving for a rainy day for a very long time. Of course, in Italy, rainy days are few and far between. It seemed to me rather appalling that children were being deprived of all the resources they needed, and in some of those schools, the leaders were so mean that the teachers were having to pay for the resources with their own money, unaware of the riches sitting in the bank account. This raises the thorny question, should Christians have savings? I remember when I used to live in New York, a pastor saying how he would save up for his pension and build up a nest egg, and then God would tell him to give it all away to a needy family. If we really trusted God, why do we need to build up funds for a rainy day? Isn't God the one who provides for us and meets all our needs? I've heard of some churches that are struggling to make ends meet, but members of those churches have fortunes stashed away in savings accounts for a rainy day. They don't appear to recognize their struggling church as something that's being rained upon, because the whole point of a rainy day is that it never comes. The Jews were very happy to talk about the coming of the Messiah as long as he never actually turned up. When Jesus did finally arrive, he was certainly not what they were expecting, and a most unwelcome intrusion on their worldview. Now, you will tell me that we must be good stewards of our finances, and for us to spend, or get into debt would be wrong and a bad witness. Correct. But should we then overcompensate by hoarding money instead? If God has blessed us, as he did the rich fool, with an abundant harvest, whatever that may have been in our case, is the correct response to store up the surplus in bank accounts for ourselves or for our future? Is it not better to give glory to God and share our good fortune with those in need? Generosity is the polar opposite of greed. The rich fool did not understand the systems of sowing and reaping that God has set up, whereby those who sow reap, not because they're chanting some prosperity gospel, but simply because they're generous. When that farmer sowed his seed in good soil, he reaped a harvest up to 100-fold. Because he scattered his seed. If he had left it in the sack to rot or the rats to feast upon, there would have been no harvest. When the poor widow gave her 2 mites, Jesus praised her for giving from her poverty, and she was blessed. Now, going to the other extreme, Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett set up the Giving Pledge in 2010. When they encouraged fellow billionaires to be generous and give away at least half their wealth in their lifetimes or on their death. When I looked this up in Wikipedia, it rather mournfully reported, almost none of the signees have as yet made significant progress towards upholding their pledge to give away half of their wealth, instead only accumulating more of it. Since the pledge was created in 2010, the wealth of the donors has not decreased, but has instead increased from a combined $376 billion in 2010 to a combined $734 billion in 2020. It's not that these billionaires have not been giving away their money. Their giving can't keep up with the abundant harvest they keep reaping. Even in the secular world, the principles of sowing and reaping stand. When we have a generous heart, first of all towards God through our tithes and offerings, and then to others through our charitable giving, something stirs in the spiritual world. Greed cannot take root in our hearts, and nor can poverty. Now that's a strong statement, but I'm not alone in saying it. David said in Psalm 37:25, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing." And in the New Living Translation, Proverbs 22:9, this could well be one of the sayings of Solomon, who was extremely wise. It says, "Blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor." Remember how Jesus summed up the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12:21. "This is how it will be with anyone who stores things up for himself, but is not rich towards God." A poverty mentality, which strikes at people to stop them being generous, is like a sickness that saps a body's vital juices. We can think of many good reasons not to be generous, to hold on to our money, to salve our consciences. Although I'm not sure saving for a rainy day is the most convincing of them. Often people think they can't afford to be generous, overplaying the impact of a little generosity on their general wealth. However, whenever people take a step of faith and do show a rich attitude towards God, they never live to regret it. I've never heard anybody say, "If only I hadn't given my full tithe last month, my life would have been so much better now." And I've heard nobody say, "What was I thinking? I gave some food to the food bank. I should have eaten it myself." Being generous is a wonderful gift that God bestows on his children. He's been so generous to us. How can we not be generous to him? I'm not one of those fathers who lectures his children all the time about what they should or shouldn't be doing, but I have always encouraged them to be generous, and I hope they feel that I've been generous towards them too. I want to conclude with the words of John in 1 John 3, verses 17 to 18. John says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Now, these are matters we all have to reflect upon. And it's really between us and God how we work out our daily lives, how we express generosity and reflect his love. But I think the parable of the rich fool is a salutary tale for all of us and reminds us that only God knows how many days remain to us. Let's do all we can to fill them by being generous to him and to one another. I'm just going to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have blessed all of us with so many riches. You've blessed us with your love. You've blessed us with your Holy Spirit. You've blessed us with your care. You've blessed us with your presence at all times. You've blessed us with your listening ear whenever we come to you in prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us so richly. You've been so generous to us. You gave your only Son for us that we could be set free. Lord, help us in our turn to be generous to you and to those around us. Lord, I pray that you would show us needs that we may not previously have been aware of, that we can do something about. Help us, Lord, to have a generous heart and go into each day thinking how we can bless people and how we can bring joy to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.